All right, no rest for the wicked. Or the host of Super Short Run, Super Timely. We gotta get it out there, get it in the mix. What it's about is happening at this moment. Podcasts. I'm trying to record this with my cat in the background who's going crazy. She's waiting for her food. I have a limited window, so I wanna knock this out. I'm just gonna keep going. I'm back with episode number 5. We've talked some Seahawks, Broncos, Colts, and Vikings so far. And today we're making our way back out west to my neck of the woods. That's right, we're talking about the Los Angeles Chargers. One of the teams that's representing the city I've called home for 15 years now. Pretty crazy. Yes, Los Angeles is the city I call home. And I know what you're probably thinking. Oh, this guy's probably a pot-smoking, avocado-toast-eating liberal TV hack. He knows nothing about football. Well, maybe you're mostly right on that one. But that's why I have this podcast, to talk to smart people who know football like I am today. I dialed up Gilbert Manzano. You can find him at gmanzano24 on Twitter. He's the Chargers beat writer for the OC Register and LA Daily News. And while I did blank on asking him about Hard Knocks, hashtag my bad, I did get Gilbert to deliver the definitive guide to the 2020 Los Angeles Chargers. So what are we waiting for? Let's bring him on. Ladies and gentlemen, Gilbert Manzano. I'm very excited to chat for the first time, mix it up about some football, and get to know this Chargers team a little bit better. The Los Angeles Chargers. It's year three. It's getting easier to say and remember. We're making that classic San Diego mistake less, I feel. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. You know, I'm still stuck inside, you know, waiting to see a practice in person. Hopefully maybe Friday, or I think for sure by Monday. But still, I'm still doing a lot of these Zoom things that we're doing now. But so far, so good.
Well, before we really dig in, I've been taking a moment off the top here to get the less than fun stuff out of the way, the COVID of it all. And this does affect the personnel we're about to talk about. So who are the Chargers that have opted out and or popped up on the COVID positive list so far?
Actually, I'll keep it simple and short. Nobody. Nobody opted out. Nobody's on the reserve COVID list. And it's kind of strange to think for the Chargers franchise, kind of been snake bitten with injuries, that they're lucky so far. They're lucky or responsible or taking it serious. But so far, from July 21st, when rookies reported to get through testing, so far no positive test, nobody on the COVID list, nobody opted out. So for the Chargers, it's been all 80 players on the practice field. They haven't even announced an injury or anything like that. It's kind of weird a thing for a Chargers squad to make it through about 2 or 3 weeks of training camp and nothing has happened.
Well, this is 2020 where the impossible is now possible, and the Chargers are somehow the healthiest team in the league. It's great to hear. And I think the NFL as a whole seems to be doing well. So we are in the midst of dealing with a completely unique training camp experience. The pads haven't come on yet to really track those camp battles like usual, and things will really ramp up in terms of coverage when those things happen. But guys are getting reps, at least in shorts and t-shirts. We're a little deep into this in some shape or form. So are there any big headlines that fantasy gamers should know about the Chargers camp up until this point?
Yeah, it's going to be a little tough for the Chargers to figure out because it's a new scheme, a new quarterback. Phillip Rivers is not there anymore. At least I think we do know that the quarterback's going to be Tyrod Taylor. I know they have Justin Herbert competing as a rookie quarterback, but I don't think they're going to rush him out there. It's going to be Tyrod Taylor. And if you kind of look back at history, Tyrod Taylor kind of has trouble with accuracy, short passes. And guys like Hunter Henry and Keenan Allen, Austin Eckler, they thrive off short passes and accuracy and timing and rhythm. And that's what they did well with Phillip Rivers. You don't have that with Tyrod Taylor. I think for if you're looking for kind of a for sure thing, I will say Mike Williams, because Tyrod Taylor does have a good deep ball. When he goes deep, he's very accurate. The only problem with that, he doesn't take too many shots down the field. But I think now, with all the weapons and all the options, and I think what Anthony Lynn wants Tyrod to do is to be a little more aggressive, but still kind of keep that same ball security mentality, but also take your shots and use all these weapons they have. So it's a little tough to tell. I can't wait to go out to practice and kind of see how they do now, because, you know, Tyrod was there a year ago, so he's familiar with these guys. But when you think about it, the weakness of the Tyrod, it's a little kind of tough to figure out. But I think if you're going to pick one guy, I think it's Mike Williams. He was very impressive last year. When Phillip Rivers was kind of throwing those interceptions and he was going deep, it was usually to Mike Williams. And Mike Williams kind of always came down with it somehow, some of these double, triple team coverages. And it was amazing to see. But so far, there's still a lot of question marks on this offense.
Well, let's talk about this offense a little bit more. While there's still a lot to shake out, you've been covering this team all offseason, so there's no one better to talk to in terms of what this Chargers offense will look like on the field in 2020. But first, a quick reminder of how this Bolts offense played out in 2019. This offensive attack, led by quarterback Phillip Rivers, finished top 10 in total yards, but 21st in the league in total points scored, so they were moving the ball down the field, but not getting in the end zone. Bad for fantasy. While circling the bottom of the league in rush attempts, finishing 28th, they had the 11th most pass attempts, which makes sense since 71% of their plays came through 11 personnel, featuring those three wide receivers. Coming into this season, head coach Anthony Lynn made 2019 second half interim offensive coordinator Shane, help me out with how to say this.
Steichen,
the real deal. So there's some consistency there, but Rivers is gone. Star running back Melvin Gordon is gone. From your perspective, what can we expect this Chargers offense to look like in terms of scheme, formations, tendencies, anything that will help fantasy gamers get a read on this offensive unit?
Yeah, I think you should expect the rushing yards overall to go up and for them to kind of punch it into the end, to the end zone. And you mentioned the lack of touchdowns, and I think this had to do with just what Phillip Rivers was doing a year ago. They were moving the ball. They were getting the yards. A lot of these guys racked up yards, but when it came to the red zone, it seemed that Phillip Rivers was forcing the ball a lot. And I think he had 20 interceptions a year ago. And I think even not just interceptions, they had a lot of fumbles too. I think I saw a stat that from every team besides the Chargers had only one combined fumble when getting to the goal line. The Chargers as a team alone had three. So that tells you all the bad breaks they were getting when they got into the red zone. But as far as how the offense is going to look, it's going to be, I think, kind of a modern, you know, trendy offense now because – you know, you see Patrick Mahomes running, you know, the RPOs, and you see Lamar Jackson doing the zone reads. You want a quarterback that could create on the run, move around, incorporate play action, bootleg, stuff like that. You never saw that with Phillip Rivers. It was kind of a who dropped back, who scanned the field. He usually, you know, went to his first or two reads, and you let your playmakers do the rest. But I think now defense has to account for 11 players because Tyrod Taylor, he could run. He's very mobile. So I'm very intrigued to see how they do that, kind of incorporate the mobile quarterback. And I think for Chargers coach Anthony Lynn, I think him and Shane Steichen and also quarterbacks coach Pip Hamilton, I think they're eager to show what they can do with a revamped offense. And it's going to be tough because of the pandemic. They didn't have a lot of time during the offseason because there was no offseason program. Everything got canceled. So they're kind of doing everything now. And they haven't even got the pads on. It's still kind of the walkthrough. So for them to kind of do all this thing in a hurry might be a problem. But when you have a lot of familiar faces, and like I mentioned, Tyrod was there a year ago, I think they could probably get it done. But I'm very intrigued to see how this kind of, you know, rush-first mentality with a blend of 2020-style football, how they kind of incorporate it so fast, too.
It's been well over a decade since the Chargers opened the season without Rivers under center, but it does have a seemingly capable starter for now anyway in Tyrod Taylor. As you mentioned, he was on the squad last year. Then again, he finds himself in a similar situation to his tenure in Cleveland, where he started out ahead of then-rookie Baker Mayfield with Chargers first-round rookie quarterback Justin Herbert waiting in the wings. This is a situation that fantasy gamers, both from a redraft and dynasty perspective, are extremely interested in. How do you think the quarterback position plays out for this offense this season?
Yeah, I think for sure we're going to see a whole lot of Tyrod Taylor early on. I can't figure out if he starts losing early, will they pull the plug and give him a short leash like they did in Cleveland when Baker Mayfield was waiting there. It seemed like everybody was just waiting for him to mess up and then you throw in Baker Mayfield. I think here with the Chargers, he's getting a little more – I asked Anthony Lynn, is he going to get a fair shake here? And he said, yeah, you know, that's a guy he's kind of always backed since their Buffalo days are together. So I think even if he has a little shaky start here and there, you will see a whole lot of Tyrod Taylor. I know you got Justin Herbert there, but I think they know Justin Herbert needs more time to develop. And especially with such a weird year where the offseason program got canceled, you don't want to rush your first-round future of the franchise. Sometimes, you know, you can have a shaky rookie season, and that kind of kills your whole confidence for who knows how long. And there's been, you know, kind of these these murmurs that Justin Herbert, is, I guess when it comes to confidence, he kind of lacks it. But when I talk to people who know Justin Herbert pretty well, they say some of those rumors are kind of they're false. Like he's a very confident guy, very talkative guy. Actually, Austin Eckler backed that up, that he's been confident lately. So that's a good sign that he's a guy who can lead a locker room or a huddle at least. But when it comes to on the field play, we're gonna have to wait to see. But maybe the Chargers, I think maybe they don't do too well. I think they probably will, they'll hang around to maybe keep Justin Herbert on the bench for this entire season. But if things kind of go south, that they're like maybe November after week 8, you'll get to see what Justin Herbert could do. And just from a standpoint of him kind of being a prospect, he has everything you want. He's like 6'6". He has a cannon for an arm. Mobile, which is going to fit this offense. He's kind of in a way, Tyrod Taylor, but hopefully with the higher ceiling and the more upside. But I think for right now, maybe Justin Herbert could fill in and do what Tyrod Taylor is doing. But they don't want to rush the progress, because when it comes to reading defenses, things that veterans do, reading your first passes and kind of scanning the field, maybe Herbert's not that far along yet and you want to kind of wait and see. But I am very intrigued. I know that's kind of a long answer on Herbert, but there's still a lot of things, a lot of question marks and a lot of answers to be kind of told over the next couple months.
Well, let's make a long answer a little bit longer. Chargers seem to be backing Anthony Lynn. Do you feel like Lynn is backing Herbert in terms of the future of this franchise, that he is the guy that's going to help them, reach a Super Bowl and be the long-term starter in Los Angeles?
Yeah, in a way, not just Anthony Lynn, even the general manager of the Chargers, Tom Telesco, they're all kind of tied in with Justin Herbert. If he doesn't produce, their jobs are on the line. Now, if he does well, they're going to be around for a good while. I know Anthony Lynn received an extension, but it was only a one-year extension. So usually that means that if you don't produce, the season before your contract is up, you might be let go after even though there's 1 year remaining in your contract. So that wasn't a big vote of confidence on the Chargers. So I think in a way, he needs Justin Herbert to produce. And it's kind of tricky because he wants Tyrod Taylor to do well also. So you kind of got to balance. Do you bring Herbert now or you kind of wait? But I recently wrote about this. I think if Tyrod Taylor has success in this new offense, that usually means that the next guy up will have the same success too. You kind of see what Andy Reid was doing with the Chiefs, and he had Alex Smith for so long. He was running the offense. They were producing. But then you put in the guy who's a little more talented and Patrick Mahomes, and he took it to the next level. So if Anthony Lynn can at least implement a very impressive kind of coaching style and scheme, I think that kind of bodes well for all sides, from Tyrod to Anthony Lynn, Telesco, Herbert. So I think this year 2020, regardless of who the quarterback is, if they win and produce numbers, I think everybody's going to be pretty happy for the Chargers.
Love that take, Gilbert. That's why we're here, to get your expert analysis here. Well, let's move on to the wide receiver room next. You've mentioned a couple guys already, but this group is led by fantasy headliner Keenan Allen, who over the course of the last 3 seasons, in which he played all 16 games and ditched that injury-prone label, averaged 148 targets, 101 catches, around 1,200 yards, and 6 touchdowns. Actually, that's what he's had in each of the last 3 years in terms of getting in the end zone. So, he's clearly a volume-based receiver for fantasy, and the uncertainty of his QB situation has drafters fading Allen's ADP. The same can be said of Mike Williams, whose deep playability saw him crack 1,000 yards, but only 2 touchdowns last year. He was so disappointing that Josh Hermsmeyer actually redacted his name from the Air Yards by Low model. Shout out to Fantasy Twitter on that one. But as someone who has a handle on this team like you do, are these seemingly relevant fantasy players being undervalued for this season?
It's kind of funny, David. Before I jumped on the Zoom call with you, I was doing a mock draft, and I was pretty surprised to see Keenan Allen available, I think, in round 4. In a regular Phillip Rivers year, you could probably have gone by 3 or maybe even 2. So people are kind of worried about the whole quarterback situation with Tyrod Taylor. Like I mentioned, Tyrod, his weakness has been accuracy and timing and rhythm, and that's what Keenan Allen does well. But the thing that Keenan Allen does, pretty much as a perfectionist, he gets open. He'll make your life easier as a quarterback. Maybe it's not that difficult. You just got to dump it, see him open after 5 yards, you throw him in his direction. But if they get the timing right, I think he could still have the same numbers. And it's a big year for Keenan Allen. He's going into his final year of his contract. He wants to get paid like a top wide receiver. That's why he called out Mike Evans and Tyreek Hill, saying he's better than those wide receivers. And once I started looking at the contract numbers, there was a reason why he called those two guys out, because he wants to get paid like those guys, who I think they're getting paid around $18 million annually. So I think Keenan wants to do that. But it might take care of him before the season starts in terms of money. So I don't know if he'll lose some motivation there on that part. You may keep an eye on that when you're about to do some fantasy drafts. But if he's still going into the season without a contract, he's going to be very hungry and very eager. And with Mike Williams, it's so hard to figure out, because the year before that, he had 11 total touchdowns, but he didn't have the receiving yards. Last year, he had the 1,000 receiving yards, but without the touchdowns. But when you're talking fantasy football, you want the total touchdowns to kind of increase. So I think for Mike Williams, this could probably be the year finally to put everything together, the receiving yards. Yeah, no, actually, you know, with Mike Williams, I think it could be the year to put it together, because, you know, if you look at his contract, he's due for an extension eventually, and you want to make your money. That's when players play well. And when I refer to Tyrod Taylor being an accurate deep ball thrower, that's what Mike Williams does. He'll go deep. He's a jump ball guy. I think somebody called him like the big horse wide receiver, because he's such a big guy. Just throw it up to him. I think for Mike Williams, he'll be okay in fantasy terms, but I know people are a little, you know, scared about him. But yeah, all these guys, Austin Eckler and Hunter Henry, there's a lot of mouths to feed. But I think the Chargers, what they've shown in years past, they're able to spread the ball around. I know it's a new quarterback, but I think still with Tyrod, they're gonna try to do the same thing.
And if they get that run game going, that should help open up things up for Tyrod to hit these guys a little bit deeper on the field, hopefully. Are there any other wide receivers worth mentioning? I know deep dynasty players love Joe Reed and KJ Hill.
Yeah, you know, I've been seeing a lot of fantasy people interested in Joe Reed. They keep asking me, you know, what do I expect from him? And I did a depth chart, and I put him at number three right now as a starter. And like you mentioned earlier, the Chargers like to play a lot of 11 personnel with three wideouts, so that you want to have three guys on there. And I think that could be Joe Reed. I know people are big on KJ Hill because he was such a good route runner at Ohio State, could get open. But you kind of already have guys like that, like Keenan Allen and Austin Eckers. Those guys are going to get open pretty quick. And when you want, you know, guys that kind of create after the catch, you have that already. You need a speed guy. You need a gadget guy. You need a trick play specialist. I got to kind of expand the playbook, especially in this new offense where it's all about deception and trickery when you have the zone reads and people can't figure out who's going where with these motions and shifts. That's where you put in a Joe Reed. They've been missing that on this offense here. I know they had Tyrell Williams a couple years ago as the speedster, but he wasn't a gadget guy, move all over the field. Joe Reed could do that for you. So I think that's why I'm higher on Joe Reed to at least do something this year. He's going to see the ball in a different type of way. KJ Hill, I think because he's so good at getting open, he might see a good amount of playing time, but he's going to be pretty behind on the depth chart. But they drafted these two guys for a reason. They wanted to expand the playbook. They wanted more explosive play. Like you mentioned, they couldn't find the end zone a year ago. But when you add in KJ and Joe Reed now, there's more options out to open up the playbook. But if I had to pick one, I think it'll be Joe Reed for right now.
Well, that's going to be music to a lot of Dynasty Gamers' ears. I think there's some Joe Reed truthers out there, some Joe Reed stands. So they're going to be loving that. Well, next up is the running backs. Drafters got a boom season out of Austin Eckler, who predominantly made his way through the air, totaling an earth-shattering 92 receptions, 993 yards, and 8 touchdowns. I mean, that's a great stat line for a receiver, let alone for a guy who also chipped in over 500 yards and 3 TDs on the ground. And that was with Melvin Gordon on the field for most of the season. I know he filtered in a little later after the contract dispute, but now Melvin is gone. The only guys that remain are backup 7th-rounder Justin Jackson and incoming rookie Josh Kelly, who did shine bright at the Senior Bowl out of UCLA. Eckler is no longer the sleeper he once was, and expectations are high. How are you seeing this room playing out on the field? And I know you just dropped an article. I just saw it hit the Twitter timeline about this situation. So I'm very excited to hear you talk about this.
Yeah, you know, I know people are very intrigued to see what Austin Eckler could do now as the number one lead back for the Chargers and Melvin Gordon with the Broncos. But I think it's going to be more of the same. That's why they drafted a Joshua Kelly, because they were kind of concerned about who's going to fill in for Melvin Gordon. So I think they're still thinking a committee backfield for the Chargers, because when you have – you mentioned the numbers for Austin Eckler. When you have a guy who could do so much for you in the passing game, why not keep him there? He was so dynamic as a wide receiver And it's crazy to think that he kind of learned most of those routes a year ago with Rivers kind of directing where to go. Now that he has experience, he's going to be much better in the passing game. He's so shifty, he could break tackles, but he can also do it in the backfield. He kind of proved when Melvin Gordon was gone that he's able to kind of, you know, run between the tackles, but he won't see a bunch of carries from there. Maybe, you know, about, you know, 10 to 15 per game, and then a bunch of targets in the passing game. But I think for the Chargers to kind of figure out is that number two role, or can you actually incorporate three running backs to kind of make it work? They couldn't really do that in years past with Melvin Gordon, Justin Jackson, and Austin Eckler. Usually it was two of those guys, and mainly it was Austin Eckler and Melvin Gordon. I keep going back and forth with number two. I did a depth chart, and I have Joshua Kelly number two right now. But the more I talk to the Chargers, like Anthony Lynn and Austin Eckler, they keep raving about Justin Jackson because, you know, how good he's going to be if he stays healthy. And sometimes I forget that he is very good when he's on the field, but it's very rare. But now that I'm kind of being reminded of Austin Eckler, you know, there's so many games when he does hit the field, he's always producing. He's a playmaker. He's shown that time after time that when he gets the ball, he's going to get you the yards. But he just can't stay healthy. And the Chargers were worried about that to a point where they had to draft a running back in Joshua Kelly. So when I saw them draft a running back and heard how much Anthony Lynn really wanted to get him, because when they traded for Kenneth Murray, they didn't have a day two draft pick. They had to wait for Joshua Kelly to be there, so they were very antsy to get him. That kind of shows me how much they like him to be as a power running back, short yard situation running back. He could be kind of the guy who vultures Austin Eckler and gets a one-yard touchdown in terms of fantasy football. But I'm still very undecided on the number two role. I think for now I'm leaning Joshua Kelly because he does different things. And Anthony Lynn even admitted that. He's like, yeah, what he does, the other two guys can't do. So when I hear that, I'm like, okay, there's a role for sure for Joshua Kelly. But when you're as talented as Justin Jackson, you're going to find your way. So it's going to be a good competition. Or maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wasting my time trying to decide number two. Maybe they could somehow make it work with three running backs in such a rushing-friendly offense. So it'll be interesting to see how they figure it out.
Jackson was a mega producer coming out of Northwestern, and Kelly is a bit of he's definitely more explosive than Jackson. So it's a nice combo, and it sounds like the Chargers have a nice running back room with a lot going on for people to be excited about, especially deeper in drafts. Maybe you take a shot on a Josh Kelly, depending on how deep your draft is, because it sounds like this offense is looking to run the ball.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's going to be a lot of, you know, run-heavy style for these Chargers, and I'm very excited to see how they do it, because people keep assuming that Anthony Lynn is kind of this old-school, smash-mouth coach, but I think he's very eager to kind of show his creativity and how he could run the ball, not just by, you know, going into an I formation and handing it off to your bruiser running back. I think that's why he has three running backs, and that's why he has, you know, everybody kind of filling a role, because and they drafted Joe Reed. That tells me they're trying to do something very creative, something, you know, brand new. I know still it's a copycat league. You want to do what the Ravens are doing, what the Chiefs are doing, what the 49ers are doing. But I think Anthony Lynn is very eager to kind of show his blend of style. When he kind of gave us a glimpse when he was with the Buffalo Bills. He was the offensive coordinator in 2016. We had LeSean McCoy, Shady there, and Tyrod Taylor. They were the number one rushing team in the NFL. They kind of did it in an old school kind of way back then. But now when you have so many guys like Keenan Allen, Hunter Henry, Anthony Lynn mentioned Tyra has a tight end now. So it kind of tells you there's a lot of options with the Chargers. So I'm kind of eager to see how he does it. But it wouldn't surprise me if they're still going to incorporate, you know, a lot of pass heavy plays. But just keep it an option, at least now with RPOs and stuff like that. So I think you should expect a run heavy offense. And that's why I think they drafted Joshua Kelly. Maybe they're not too worried about Justin Jackson being, you know, being healthy. They just plan to run the ball that much. So I do expect them to be maybe, you know, one of the top teams in terms of rushing yards.
I'm going to segue from I had a joke lined up where I was going to make a joke about the wishbone. You mentioned old school. It's what we ran in my high school days, the old wishbone. But I'm going to use your comment about Anthony Lynn saying Tyrod finally has a tight end to segue over to the tight end room. But really, this room is all about one guy, and you mentioned him. It's Hunter Henry. Sorry, Virgil Green. We love you, Virgil, but we're talking fantasy here, not blocking. Henry seems to have followed Keenan Allen's trend of breaking the shackles of that injury-prone label, miraculously returning to the field in 2019 after an early offseason injury to play in 12 games and rack up 55 catches, almost 700 yards, and 5 touchdowns. He's a guy I'm high on this season as a nice big soft target for both Taylor and Herbert if he gets out there. But you know this team better than I do. How do you see the Chargers using Henry this year?
Yeah, you know, when you think about Tyrod, you're thinking he's going to be – you know, a guy who neglects the tight end because, you know, throwing short passes are not his forte. But when Anthony Lynn brought up and he said, hey, Tyrod, you got to use Hunter Henry, that lets me know that Hunter Henry's going to be very heavily incorporated in this offense because he's just that talented. He's a tight end who could block for you but also do everything as a wide receiver. I've seen him line up in the slot position as a, you know, this big tight end is kind of weird to see. But of course, he's going to be in his, you know, natural position, you know, run up the seam and stuff like that. But I think Hunter Henry, not just from a you know, snap standpoint, I think he's very motivated. He was franchise tagged this year, so it's technically a 1-year contract. He got paid for this year, very nice. I think about $10 million. But you want that long term security, and to get that, you got to go out there and produce. And like you mentioned, that the injuries have kind of been a knock on him. And he's been first to admit that. He's told me many times, you know, my goal is to play all 16 games this season. He wants to do that for the first time in his career. So if he does that, you kind of expect Hunter Henry to produce regardless. Because when he's out there, I think when he returned from his knee injury after 4 games last year, he was pretty much tops in all type of tight end categories and receiving yards, targets, receptions, stuff like that. So I think when he's in there, he'll produce. It's just, again, it goes back to Tyrod Taylor. Can he figure out how to use a big tight end like Hunter Henry? He had no problems with Phillip Rivers doing that, but, you know, it's a new quarterback, so we'll see how they do. But if they figure it out, I think, like you mentioned, I think expect a big year from Hunter Henry as well when you're drafting a tight end. Sometimes those tight ends, man, it's a graveyard out there. You can't find too many guys outside of Kittle and Zach Ertz. So I think if you're kind of waiting on a tight end, I think Hunter Henry's the guy to go to.
Well, it seems like the Chargers have a lot of guys who are looking to get paid this year, and that's kind of a classic old-school fantasy narrative that gets spun, and I think it has some weight to it. I mean, look, if you want to get paid, you got to go out there and ensure that you're worth it. So something to keep in mind, and I don't feel like that's really gets mentioned a lot with this team as the fantasy echo chamber ramps toward draft season here. So thank you so much for all this stuff. We're going to get you out of here, Gilbert. We got one question left, and it's kind of a toughie. We're going to make you put yourself out there. What's your boldest fantasy take for the Chargers in 2020?
Ooh, boldest, huh? Jeez. Can we do defensive talk for fantasy? Are you guys playing?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. We can do defense. We've already gotten a defensive take at this segment in another episode. So, yeah, I mean, listen, you got to trot out a defense.
Okay, yeah, because we spoke very heavily on the offense, and I've had people, you know, get mad at me like I'm running the defense for the Chargers, saying we were so high on the Chargers defense a year ago, they didn't do anything, takeaway, sacks, anything you want to think of for individual performances, they were pretty bad. Maybe outside of Joey Bosa, he was the only one. But when you have a healthy Derwin James and you add in Chris Harris Jr. and you add Linval Joseph, and I was just doing a mock draft. People are still kind of, you know, overlooking the Chargers because maybe they're mad from a year ago. But I think this year, the defense could be the year they finally put it together. I think it could be a very good defense. Sometimes when you have a good defense, like in years past, I think 1 year I did pretty well just having the Bears defense with Khalil Mack, and they were getting me points like crazy. Depends on what league you're in, but you have one that's kind of very heavy on defense, take a chance on the Chargers again. Hopefully they don't burn you again, but I feel like they're going to be very good.
I love it. You're doing a mock draft right before talking fantasy. You're getting the gears grinding, thinking about all the points that are going to be scored. You got to get – are you into the best ball, Gilbert?
I haven't. I need to get into that. You know, I do like playing fantasy football, but sometimes this job keeps me too busy and I can't get into all the craziness. But I think baseball is pretty quick, right? It's like a once-a-week thing, right?
You draft it and that's it. That's your line. That's your team for the whole season. It's no fuss, no muss. And
I need to try that. Sounds like something that I need to get into then.
You need to, I'll send you an underdog link right after this. Hop into a $3 best ball. It's mocking with little stakes.
I'll try that because I limited to 2 fantasy leagues this year, but I could do one more. And if it's best ball and it sounds like it's pretty simple, you know, sign me up.
All right, Gilbert. Well, you've said it all. Where can people find all your stuff?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at gmonsano24. My stories are on our websites. The two biggest websites we have is LA Daily News and the Orange County Register, or any Southern California News Group website you can find. You'll see my stories there.
Well, thank you so much. This has been so much fun, and have a safe and healthy 2020 season, and maybe we'll talk next year.
Hopefully. Thank you for the time, David.
Thanks a lot, man. Mike Williams, Unredacted. You are now dialed in.